From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Larry Richards. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Well, we've made it to another Open Line Thursday with Father Larry Richards. We're talking the new evangelization as we do every Thursday. If you'd like to be on the program, the number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or you can text your question to Father Larry. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question message, and data rates may apply. I'm Jack Williams, Michael McCall producing the program. Your call screener is Ryan Penny and Jeff Burson handling our social media efforts. And our host, as he is every Thursday, the pastor of St. Joseph Parish Bread of Life Community in Erie, Pennsylvania, Father Larry Richards. How are you?
Blessed. Even I'm freezing here right now because the air conditioning is on, and I'm right under the air conditioner. I'm thinking, why is the air conditioning on anyway?
Yeah, well, you're just entering into a long period of freezing.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I need my sweater. I don't know.
Anyway, so I've got a question for you here.
You've
been at this racket for a little while now.
And 31 years.
Have been talking to people about our Lord Jesus during that time. And as we all know, attitudes and societal trends change over time. And, you know, when you look at kind of a modernist thinking, which is really where you and I grew up chronologically, you know, where there was no doubt in most people's mind that there were absolute truths. And, you know, what those were might be a little debatable, but there was no real uncertainty about the fact that there were. But now, as you move into, you know, what the civics people would call a postmodern kind of a situation, especially the younger people, the various levels of millennials that you would talk to, we get an ever decreasing level of certainty about absolute truths. And a lot of people will just tell you that, you know, truth is what you make the truth. And I'm wondering if you have, you know, seen that change as a pastor over the years, and how do you gear how you approach people to make maybe the gospel more appealing to that ear?
Well, first, I always talk about truth has to be objective reality. And again, it's a philosophical thing that most kids are like, what's that mean? You know, I say, I either exist or I don't exist. That's truthful or it's not. Objective reality is I'm here and I can hit you in the nose if I want to. You know, so we got to deal with basic reality first. But again, a lot of them haven't got that. Even one of my one of my favorite Christmas songs by someone, but it says your truth in there. And I go, oh, why would you even say your truth? If it's your truth and it's not my truth, by definition, it's not truth. You know, truth must be objective reality. You know, and so when we talk about all this stuff, you know, we just have to make sure that we're all on the same page. And a lot of us haven't been, because in the social realities, these kids have been taught about, well, you know what, you make truth whatever you make it to be. Well, again, objectively, it's just not truth, you know. So again, I just think part of it is up to us as church leaders that we got to make sure that we teach objective reality and teach it. You know, the spiritual is always built on the natural. Sometimes we try to tell people, this is just the way it is. It's been revealed. Now believe it. And people look at us like, well, you're out of your mind. I don't have to believe that, you know. And so it's like, and then you can't argue anymore. So you have to go even more basic about what truth is, what the reality is. And again, this isn't a new argument. Remember the Jesus, when he was arguing, well, not arguing, but talking to Pilate when right before he was killed, Pilate says, well, what is truth? You know, and so that has been the question for all these centuries and before that with the philosophers. What is truth? What is true? And I just think that we have to look at it basic, objectively, that truth has to be objective or it's not truth at all.
The more things change, the more they stay the same, huh?
Exactly.
Joy writes in, do we believe that the sins of the parents are somehow in some way laid at the feet of our children to atone for?
Well, the Old Testament dealt with that, and it explicitly said no, you know. And, you know, there are people out there today, though, that talk about we have, you know, stuff that you've inherited and we have to pay for these things and we have you know, wounds that are from our parents and our great parents. Now there are things naturally, if your parents hurt you, then you're going to have some wounds from them. But to sit there and, like, I think too often people are trying to objectify, you know, something they learned somewhere. But Jesus Christ came and set us free. And when you got baptized, you were set free from your sin, from, you know, the only thing we could say we all get is original sin from our parents. And so when you got baptized, you got cleansed of original sin. And that's the deepest thing. That's the, you know, it was because of the original sin that we die, that we get sick and all this kind of stuff. So the full consequences of that would be separation from God. So Jesus paid the penalty from all that stuff. And when we get baptized, we are washed in him and we are redeemed in him. And so I think that those things that go back and we have to look at our past just keeps us focused on ourselves. It's another way darkness enters into us and into the church when we start looking always at ourselves and our past and trying, when Jesus Christ has paid the penalty. And as long as we repent of our own personal sins, we don't have to worry about the sins of our parents. I mean, I could sit there and go for quite a while with my own family. And again, that isn't what God's calling us to do. He's been redeemed. Look at the family of Jesus. When you look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ, there are prostitutes there, there are murderers there, there are rapists there, and yet from that line came Jesus Christ. You know, so we don't look towards the past, look towards the future.
Arlene is watching us on YouTube, and she says, why is God allowing all of this pain and suffering, yet he claims to love his children? What greater good can all this death and suffering do?
Two things. One is God gave us freedom. You know, the greatest gift God gave us was existence, and the second greatest gift God gave us, according to Aquinas anyway, was freedom. That we have made our own issues on this earth. We do it, we fight it, and different things. It's because of us. Second thing is that we can't, if we just look at the world from this perspective only, life stinks, huh? And it's never going to get better. I mean, we might have instances of joy and different things, but the reality, even the Buddha, you know, you sit there and you look at the original thing, is life is hard. You know, that's their first truth, is life is hard. You know, now that isn't what we focus on. We focus on we have been redeemed, as I already talked about. And the number two thing is that God, this is not our home. We are passing through. And again, when we look at the world from the future, like when we're in heaven and we're looking back and we're going to see our time on earth, if you live to be 100, is just nothing. And the older you get, the faster you know that's true. It's nothing. But eternity, you know, our time on earth is just the first sentence of eternity. And then when we're there and we look back, we'll understand these things. You know, again, I've used the analogy before that a boy is sick and his mom and dad take him to the hospital, and the first thing the boy says when they get in the car is, just don't let them give me a shot. I don't want a shot, please. And then you get there and they says he has pneumonia, he's going to die unless he gets a shot. And then you hold your child as they get the shot. And then you sit there and the boy looks at you and says, how dare you? I trusted you. And you let them give, you held me as I got that shot. We just don't understand sometimes. Now, again, that doesn't mean everything on this earth and all the pain that's happening is of God. He's not holding us. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying some of it God allows because it's going to bring him glory and it's going to bring us healing. Some of it is caused by our own sinfulness, our own free will, our own deciding. You know, someone the other day on some good Catholic the other day on the internet called me a POS, and I had to look up what POS was, and it's not a good thing. You know? And so I thought, oh, this guy called a priest a POS, and I'm thinking, that's not very nice. But he does it with God in mind, like, look, I'm doing this for God, you know, because Father Larry's a liberal or whatever. Really? Is that what I am? But still, it's because God had nothing to do with that. It was this person decided that he would sit there and purposely hurt another human being because he felt like that. So I hope that answers your question.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. It's EWTN's Open Line Thursday with Father Larry Richards.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
It's Thursday night. That means the world over with Raymond Arroyo. Tonight at 8 Eastern Time, Carter Sneed, professor of law at the University of Notre Dame, and Gail Trotter, spokesman for the Judicial Crisis Network, discussed the vacancy on the U.S. Supreme Court after the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That's tonight, the world over, 8 Eastern Time on EWTN Radio and Television. Some open phone lines for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. First up is Michael in Cleveland, Ohio, a first-time caller listening on Ave Maria Radio. Michael, you are on with Father Larry.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. What's up?
So I had a twofold question. The first is, kind of, I guess, on the Trinity, and the second is prayer. So okay. I was at Adoration the other day, and I've always had an easier time praying to the Father than mm-hmm. to the Son and Jesus. And I know I'm in the physical presence of the body of Christ, mm-hmm. But I guess my first question would be is, how is the Father present in that if the Son is God and God is the Father? And then I guess the follow-up question would be, is it wrong to pray to the Father in the presence of the Son?
Well, first of all, because it's one God and three divine persons, you know, you're still praying into, you know, every prayer is offered to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. You know, that's the way we explain how prayer works. So Jesus was always pointing us to the Father, and he was always saying, and you know, Father John Ricardo loves to talk about that we are people who are more Christocentric instead of Father-centered. And Jesus preached about the Father more than anything. He always tried to bring us to the Father. So for us to pray to the Father is exactly what Jesus taught us. You know, I'm in the middle of editing my book on the Lord's Prayer, and the whole thing when Jesus, and they said, how do I pray? Teach us how to pray. And he says, this is how you're to pray. Father, our Father. So again, Jesus, you're doing exactly as Jesus said. You're praying to God the Father. But when you do it in Jesus, with Jesus, again, the whole point of prayer is entering into the relationship with the whole Trinity. So whenever you're praying, you're entering into the relationship of the very Trinity, the very community of God. It's like I like to tell people, like when you make the sign of the cross and the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, it's like the Holy Spirit now takes you up and brings you into the very presence and the life of the Trinity, the community of the Trinity. So you're praying and talking to all of them, if you will, at the same time. To give glory to one is to give glory to the other. You know, and again, like there's a great book out called The Forgotten God about how often we neglect the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't feel neglected, you know, to enter into anything. We only can do that because of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Paul talks about when we pray, we don't know how to pray, and then the Spirit prays within us, and the prayer that the Spirit prays is Abba, You know, this intimacy with Papa, the Father. So I hope that helps you a little bit, Michael.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Keep praying.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. Dustin is in Parkville, Missouri, listening on the Catholic Radio Network. Dustin, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Dustin.
Hi, Father.
Hi, Dustin. Blessed. How are you?
So my question is I've watched a couple of videos of yours on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You at men's conferences.
Sure,
and
sure.
It's talking about confession, and mm-hmm. You know, there's, you said, a majority of the people that you speak to, these men's conferences, you know, haven't been in many, many years to confession, mm-hmm. or even have made some bad confessions, maybe
sure.
withholding sins,
sure.
After embarrassment or whatever. So, and you said that to go to a confession to you, it, you know, maybe takes 60 seconds or, mm-hmm. you know, maybe a little bit longer. And my question really is, so we're supposed to confess our sins in number and kind. So
correct.
When it takes 60 seconds, I guess, with you, the number, obviously, it sounds like it might not be there. So I was just curious if you could kind of explain, or I guess go into detail about what you, how going to confession with you that, you know, takes 60 seconds covers the number part.
Because I'll ask, like, for instance, you need, especially mortal sins, venial sins, not so much. But if you commit, like, you commit murder, well, did you commit one murder or did you commit 10 murders? Did you, did you commit adultery? And again, it doesn't, when you talk about number and kind, it doesn't have to be explicit. Like, I've had people come to me and say, Father, I swore, I think it was 1,220 times. Well, that very thing is a lie. You have to give exactly about how many times. So again, in that, when it comes to mortal sins, I'll say about how often did you do that. So you can still do it in a short amount of time. My thing is, I ask the questions for those who want, so that they finally make a perfect contrition, that they do not withhold important reality. And the reason I've been doing this for so many years is because when dealing with boys especially, they would never confess sexual sins. And so we'd give them the opportunity, if they wanted, by the questions. And that's what most people do. So people who haven't been to confession in 50 years say, Father, this was the first confession I ever made that finally got rid of those sins. You know, and so that's the thing. It's just a tool that we use to help people to get rid of those sins. But we talk about number and kind. Always I do is ask the question, and then if it's a mortal sin, they'll say, about how often did you do that throughout all these years? And they can give me some kind of answer then. Does that help?
It does, Father. Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks, Dustin. We appreciate that phone call. That opens up a line for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Next up is Bob in Phoenix, Arizona, a first-time caller listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Very blessed. What's up, Bob?
Here's my question. I'm trying to reconcile freedom of conscience and the magisterium of the church. I went to Catholic schools and colleges, and it always boiled down to, well, if you investigated it enough, you would agree with us. And it seems like after Vatican II, the theme song is pretty much the same. So my point is, why even develop a conscience? It's just like kind of do what you're told. There you go.
Well, there you go, because it comes back to what I was talking about earlier, that freedom of God gave you freedom. Now, again, often when we sit there and you got to watch how this stuff can be said without being taken out of context here, you know, but we have to, like, you have to follow your conscience, period. Because if your conscience comes to something different, you'll stand before God on how you followed your conscience. But the church has always taught it has to be an informed conscience, meaning that you have looked at and said, this is what it, this, you know, the teaching of the church, you know, everything else, but you still got to follow your own conscience. For instance, let's say someone told me that I need to do something bad and I know it's bad. I got to do that, even though someone, like someone, like, let's say my bishop told me to do something that I know is bad. that I still got to disobey him, even though I took a vow of obedience, because my conscience is telling me I cannot do that in any way, shape, or form. You know, so that's where it gets to be sticky and how that all works out. And it's hard for me to say it any better in 2 minutes, you know. So, but you ultimately got to abide by your conscience. What your conscience says, that's what you got to do. But it should be informed by the teaching of the church. And so, but it can be different. You know, again, I took a vow of obedience. I must obey, but I will not obey if he's telling me to do something sinful.
Does okay, that, help? That helps. Yeah, that's concrete. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Okay. God bless you.
Thanks, Bob. We appreciate that call. 833-288-EWTN. A couple of open phone lines and plenty of time for your calls at 833-288-3986. Next stop is York, PA. Kathy is in the great state of Pennsylvania listening on Holy Family Radio. Kathy, you are on with Father Larry.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Father Larry.
Hi, Kathy. Blessed. What's up?
Hi. I have a question about the sixth commandment.
Yes.
Particularly, I had heard that if you don't have sexual relations with your husband, that that is a sin. My husband and I don't get along, and I don't feel the need to have sex with him. But so would that be a sin? Should I have it anyways?
Well, again, I don't know your particular situation. It's easy for me to sit here in Erie in my office and say, this is what you need to do. St. Paul says in the scriptures, you should not withhold relations from your spouse because it could cause them to sin. So you're in a relationship, but you don't like your husband. Well, that is an interesting concept, you know, because you're still married. And so part of marriage is mutual love and procreation and education of children. So, I mean, that's part of it. But I would sit there and say what you need to do more than anything else is work on your relationship with your husband. Sex is just part of a relationship. It's not the relationship. But I do know priests that have told people that it's sinful not to have sex with your spouse. I have never said that myself, but I've heard it, and I just explained to you why that could be. But again, I would encourage you that what you need to do, besides just talking to me for a few moments on the radio, is to talk to your parish priest, who may know you and know your situation and help you through this in a better way.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you. God bless you, Kathy, for calling.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Talk just for a second here, Father Larry, about, you know, we get a lot of these questions and these situations that arise, you know, well into marriages, a lot of which result from problems that should have been explored before they got married, huh?
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important. And now the church is trying more and more to add more time before someone gets married to really sit there and to deal with a lot of issues. You know, like we have this test called the Focus. And the Focus is, you know, done by most dioceses in the United States and asks just some very basic questions again and again and again. And then they come in and we got to spend 1 or 2 hour sessions just going through each of those things to make sure that they're truly have dealt with these issues. But then again, you know, again, when people get married, I often tell couples, and I have 2 weddings this weekend, that when you're getting married, you're going to have to say yes to marriage again and again and again and again, because you're going to outgrow out of love each other, you're going to outgrow each other, and you're going to have to sometimes just got to recommit that you committed till you drop dead to with this person. And so you can just sit there and stay there and be miserable, or you can always be working on this relationship. And that's why I'm so encouraged, you know, people should go to counseling, or we have the Retrovi thing in the church where it helps couples that are really struggling with marriage. And those type of things can really help, because God doesn't want you in a loveless marriage. He wants you in a marriage full of love, and he can bring that. Remember, Jesus rose from the empty and dead tomb. God can bring life to an empty and dead marriage.
It's Open Line Thursday with Father Larry Richards. We'll be right back.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. Plenty of time for your calls at 833-288-3986. We have a question from a Facebook Live viewer who says, Father, I have a question. My daughter had an abortion recently, and I was beyond devastated when I found out. I've tried talking to her about how wrong she was for doing that, but she doesn't care. She has no heart. Her decision to that has strained our relationship. Father, I don't support her decision. I'm so upset about it, and I don't want to talk to her anymore. What should I do?
Oh, dear. First of all, it was the most horrendous thing ever. But after, like, I'm very strong against abortion. There's no other way around it. You can just put Father Larry Richards in Google and put enough, and you're going to find plenty of how strong I am, crazy strong. But on the other side, when I've heard people in confession and that, what they need now is healing. And they need to bring healing to their child that they killed. And so when we shame someone after they've done it, like your daughter, it doesn't help. Of course it's going to strain her. It's going to send her father away from you. It might be something that could break your relationship forever. But I would encourage you that that's not what you want to do. You want to be Christ to her. And so you need to sit there and help her to know. And again, she feels guilty. I'm sure she's not evil or any way, but she did what she did, and it was wrong, and she needs to be reconciled with God, and she needs to be reconciled with her child. But you need to get her and bring her healing first so that she can, again, let's all look at the way Jesus dealt with sin. When Jesus caught the woman in adultery, the law said that she was supposed to be stoned to death. And he doesn't do that to her. He doesn't pick up the stone. He doesn't encourage anyone else to pick up a stone. He sits there and he goes and enters into this relationship with her so that then he can say, sin no more. But if he would have started with sin no more, he'd have been just like the Pharisees and everybody else around that had the rock in their hand. He had to meet her where she was so that she could then be converted. You got to meet her now where she is, and you got to bring her healing, because what she needs to do is get to confession. She needs to ask God if he gave her a boy or girl. She needs to name her son or daughter, and she needs to reach into heaven and ask that child for forgiveness. But you'll never get her to do that if you just judge her now and tell her that she's no good is what she's hearing from you. So you need to somehow bring the relationship, meet her there so you can bring her to healing so that you can bring her to repentance. And so then she can bring healing to her child who she killed, that she can do all that. But it's all going to come down to how you treat her now. So that is what I'd encourage you to do. Love her, meet her where it's at. What she's done was very evil, but God can redeem that, and he has. But you have to meet her where she's at now.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next up is Dave in Rolla, Missouri, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Channel 130. Dave, you are on with Father Larry.
Hello, Dave.
Okay. Well, hi there, Father. See, my question is, well, I'm a convert of 11 years now from the Pentecostal faith. I've been a strong Pentecostal, and thanks to the Holy Spirit, my Catholic wife, got me converted to Catholicism. But
welcome.
My question is, it's got to do with confession.
Sure.
I have a good rapport with the priest, or another priest that I've had, but I struggle with every topic I want to talk about, and I'm embarrassed by it. And I don't, if I say something to you or him, whoever it may be, is he going to think less of me when if I say something that's really off the wall and something I've done is horrendous?
No. I can tell you, first of all, it's hard. Like I always tell people sometimes when I was younger, they'd say, Father, I don't want to go to you because you're my friend. And I'd say, okay, I'm not your friend anymore because it's more important to me to be your priest. You know, and so, but then the second part, I can tell you, I've been hearing confessions for 31 years now. And that most sins we all know anyway, and we know how people are, and we all know people are weak. And what happens is when I hear particularly embarrassing sins from people. I can tell you right before Almighty God, what I always think is, whoa, what it took for that person to finally get rid of that sin. Huh? You know, finally there's just like an outpouring of more compassion and everything that it took them so much, they were so afraid, and now it's gone forever. You know, and so, and again, like when I go to confession, of course, I have to go to other priests, and these priests are some of my best friends. And so that we have to have this intimacy there, if you will, that I can share with my friends. You know, often I'll go to confort, like a friend of mine will come over and say, come on, let's have a drink. I say, oh, before we have a drink, I need to go to confession. So I can sit there and go to confession and then have a drink with the same person, not at the same time. But, you know, so it's so it's just got to be, always remember it's Jesus. Second of all, the priest, like for instance, let's say you confessed that you killed my mother, God forbid. I could never bring that up to you again, and I can't treat you as any different than when you said that before. Now, in my humanity, I might struggle with that, but honest to goodness, I can tell you, I've heard every single sin there is. There is no sin I have not heard in the 31 years, and I can honestly say I never think less of the person. I always think more of the person, always. Does that help you, Dave?
It does.
I know it's still not easy, but again, you don't have to go to confession to your friend. You can go to anybody, and that's what I'd encourage you if you don't feel that you can go to your friend there. Find another priest. That's okay.
And I find that these priests that I became friends with are my friends now. I mean, I never experienced that in the other life I had, and they're like my buddies, and plus I respect them so much. At the same time, I'm kind of embarrassed to say what I need to say to them.
Sure. So find someone you can go, or, you know, that's why we still allow people behind the screen, you know. So, again, it's just an easy way to do that. You can do that and go behind the screen still to this day. But I get you, Dave. God bless you. Thanks for calling us.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. One open line for you at 833-288-3986. We head now to Lake Charles, Louisiana. Amanda is in Louisiana, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Amanda, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Amanda.
Hello.
Hello.
I've been asking you a question for a very long time.
Okay, well, glad you did. What's it?
Okay, so I'm married. I'm a very faithful Catholic. I believe everything the church teaches, but there's one thing I struggle with.
Okay.
So I have a disorder. I have two children. I love my children. If I could, I would have 100. But I just mentally, physically, emotionally can't handle having more kids. And I know that, you know, me and my husband, we've tried NFP, but as a woman, I have irregular areas. So it makes it very difficult to follow. Is there ever a time that can you, as a family, decide, you know, and I don't agree in birth control, but is there a time where you can decide that your family is complete when you can't emotionally have more kids? Are you supposed to just have all the kids that...
No, you don't have to have 1,000 kids just to keep them, pop them out. No, you got to work with God. You are a co-creator with God, but you got to do it naturally. That's what natural family planning does. You don't want to contracept, though. I mean, it's not like you're trying to get around with God, you know, and try to play games with God. It's always God is God. He's going to do as he will. But you can sit there and cooperate, like very simple, like when people decide not to have sex and that, they're cooperating with God in a natural way. So you just got to, again, for me to be able to sit there and to know your situation, to know your family, it's very, very difficult to do that on a radio show for a few moments. You need to really talk to your pastor, make sure he's an Orthodox guy, you know, make sure you talk to a priest who, there's two different ways to go, of course. You're going to find some priests who are going to say, oh, go for it, make your own decisions, doesn't matter. And you're going to find other ones that say, no, there's never an exception, there's nothing you can do, it's contraception, how dare you, you're taking the place of God. So you got to find out the pastoral thing that takes the truth of the Catholic Church and that applies that to your life in a way so you're doing God's holy will. Because ultimately, when you stand before Almighty God, you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So you want to make sure you did his will and you cooperated with him and not against him. And that's why it's you need to really find someone that knows you, that, or, you know, at least you can spend some time with. And there's some things on the internet. Jack knows the place you can go to, the moral theologian groups, and you can ask some general questions there. But I still think the one-on-one is the best way to do it.
There is, and I know down there in Louisiana, there's lots of people that are teaching natural family planning, and there are a lot of people that you know, the woman has had irregular cycles or anything like that. But I'll tell you, Amanda, just to take heart, because I personally, myself, know of two particular couples that were in virtually the same situation that you're in, and what starting the whole natural family planning process did is it got them talking intimately about these things. And both of these couples, and I'm not suggesting that you have an obligation of any kind here, but both of these two couples, once they started talking this out, the wife said, you know what, I'm not so sure that more children is a terrible thing anymore. And a lot of the things that were impeding her were really things, you know, questions of intimacy between her and her husband emotionally and spiritually. So there, you know, there's plenty of lights at the end of the tunnel, huh, Father?
Sure. And again, that's why it's so important you talk to somebody, because again, with these type questions, answering that question on the radio, if I was one-on-one with you, we'd have a lot deeper conversation here. It's just, these are type questions you need to be talking to a priest with, or someone who really knows what's going on with natural family planning. You need to talk this out. And this is not the best place to do it, over the radio for a few minutes. Does that help?
Thank you so much. Yes, that helps. I wish we had a whole bunch of priests like you in our area.
There you go. Have fun in Lake Charles. I love Lake Charles. Tell those pagans down there I said hi, the ones I know.
Thanks, Amanda. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Still time for your calls at 833-288-3986. William is in Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening on Oklahoma Catholic Radio. William, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, William.
Hi, Father Larry. Thanks for taking my call today.
Sure.
Just two quick questions about confession. So,
okay.
I'm a convert from 5 years ago, and
okay.
For about the first 4 years, I really struggled with fear about confession. You know,
sure.
Am I confessing everything? Just, you know, scrupulosity. Is there any strategies for examining your conscience where maybe in a certain way you limit the time you take, or just where you say enough is enough and you just
sure.
go on into confession? That's number one. And then number two, it seems like in the past maybe priests would, you know, at times for certain habitual sins, like temporarily withhold absolution.
Oh,
as sort of something that would really help the person get over that sin. Is that something any priests still do?
I have never. The only time you can withhold absolution is if a person is not sorry for that sin, if they have not repented. Now, again, to commit mortal sin, you need serious matter, full knowledge, and full consent. So if someone doesn't have full consent, if it's a habit or something, that takes away full consent. So if a person is struggling and saying, Father, I'm trying the best I can and doing, then we can give them absolution because we're giving them grace to stop that sin. Now, when it comes, like I'm a big one, like when I'm not really good when it comes to scrupulous people that come in all the time, because I say again and again, Christianity is the forgetfulness of self, not the focus on self. So if every time you're constantly thinking about you and your sinfulness, it's kind of like saying, Jesus, you're not strong enough Savior for me, that look at how sinful I am. And Jesus said, I went to the cross and I paid your sins. So what I always say, like the things that send you to hell, according to Jesus Christ, is not the sins of commission. You know, and that's what too many scrupulous people focus on. And then I did this, and I had a dirty thought, and then I did this, and I might have done this, and I did this, and I did this. And it's all about them. And I say, how is this of God that you're always focused on yourself? What you need to be focused on is Matthew 25, where Jesus explicitly says, who goes to hell forever? And he's the judge of the living and the dead. And he says, get out of my sight, you condemned, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? Because I was hungry and he didn't feed me. I was thirsty and he didn't give me any drink. So it's the sins of omission, that how I haven't been other-focused, that can really pull me down forever. So for when it comes to your examination of conscience, I would begin with your sins of omission. Do you take care of the poor? Do you sit there and are you more concerned about others? Do you reach out for people every day? Are you more concerned about others and trying to help them than you are about yourself? And then when it comes to your own sinfulness, like your sins of commission, every time you become aware of those things, you say, Jesus, this is me without you. So you focus on Jesus and not yourself, and then he's going to help you. Because what happens is that we need to be set free from all of our sins, and we don't want to stay focused on them because that's where the problem is. Or sometimes people will say, Father, I've confessed this before, and I want to confess it again. And I say, did you do it again since your last confession? Well, no, but I didn't feel forgiven. And I always go, I don't care how you feel. Jesus Christ died for that sin. So you say, thank you for dying for me, and move on. Because it's from the devil to keep you focused on yourself and focused on your past. As long as you repent and move on, Jesus says, look at me. He has great joy and a great life for you if you focus on him in your future. So focus on Jesus, focus on the future. Don't focus on yourself. Don't focus on your past. Every time you find yourself sinning or doing a venial sin, say, Jesus, this is me without you. I'm sorry for this. And then let it go. Bring it to confession, but then do an examination, which is all about your sins of omission, because that's going to help you be other focused. Does that help you?
Incredible. I've never heard that before. That's exactly what I needed. So thanks, Father.
Thank you. God bless thanks, you for William. Calling us.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. EWTN Radio brings you the Holy Rosary twice every day, and we've been doing it for over 25 years. Tune in every morning at 5:30 a.m. Eastern Time for Mother Angelica, and every evening at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for Father Benedict Rochelle and Simonetta, only on EWTN Radio. John is in Chicago, Illinois, a first-time caller listening to EWTN Radio. John, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, John.
Thank you very much. Hello, Father, and it's an honor and a pleasure to be able to speak, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's good to talk to you, John. What's up?
And I'm a big fan of your
I'm sorry.
Masses, and I've been watching quite a few of them.
Thank you very much.
And, something happened 5 years ago that shook me
okay.
up.
Okay,
you know, in your mass, and I would never even. I've only told a few people this, and I would never even call you except that I love the part in your mass where you say, you know, the people who can't be there to get communion,
sure receive communion.
Feel like Jesus is there. Put your head on his chest. And,
listen
and,
to his heartbeat, and, yes.
And that he loves you. And mm-hmm. Let me give you a little background what happened
okay.
years ago. So I grew up on the southwest side, south side of Chicago, and there's a beautiful St. Anne shrine there. And they mm-hmm. and since I was a boy, I'm almost 70 now, but as a boy and on and off all the years, I make the novena in the summer in July. So one of these novenas, I'm walking from the parking lot, and mind you, this is never what happened to me that day has never happened before and never happened since. So it isn't. But I felt this really strong presence of Jesus walking with me. Not that there was any vision or anything.
That's a great thing.
And I kind of like what's, you know, and so then when I got into the church, and I'm sitting in the pew, and I'm sitting, and I felt like, as a boy, when my grandmother, my mother, and my aunt, they all passed away, and I felt like they were there. In fact, so strong, Father, I actually started crying.
Sure.
I actually started crying.
You had a communion of saints.
But, yeah. So, as it turned out, while I was in church, I had stage 2 cancer. And I didn't know it at the time, but a month later, I was diagnosed. I had and my mind went back to that, and I thought, what was maybe that? Now, you know, this is mysterious to me, but you being a priest and being, you know, maybe maybe it won't be so mysterious to you what your take on this, or have you ever heard anything like this? But
the reality
I wanted to.
And again, when you can experience God's presence like this, like again, a month ago I was in the hospital and I thought I was going to die that day. And I had just such peace about it. Like, okay, you know, God, if it's what you want, I'm ready, you know, because this world isn't our home. We're just passing through. And so the reality is that we can sometimes, God will give us such comfort and an experience of Him so that we know that when we take our last breath on this earth, this isn't all there is. This is just the beginning of our life, and we're going to live forever. So God gave you a little taste of that with your family and everybody to give you to have no fear, you know. And so just be grateful when you have those type things, because not a lot of people get them, but everybody can if they're just open to the Spirit of the living God. Thanks for calling us, John.
Thanks, John. Just for the record, I was not okay with you passing on.
Yeah, there you go. I thought you'd be the first one clapping.
EWTN 833-288-3986. Next up, Atlanta, Georgia. Catherine is in the ATL listening on The Quest. Catherine, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Catherine.
Hey, Father.
Hey, Catherine. What's up?
I had a question concerning my brother passed away 4 years ago, and okay. He was cremated.
Mm-hmm.
His ashes were scattered. Yeah. So I was curious as to, I don't think it was an intentional thing, despite God. I don't know if he knew that he wasn't supposed to scatter his ashes. But what happens under a situation like that?
God is still God. There's ashes, like a lot of times now, there's like, think about the people that died 4,000 years ago. Their ashes are all over the place, you know, and so God still, when we get the resurrection of the body, God will bring, like he brought, bring all of us, he created us out of dust, and he can recreate us out of dust too, as he did for the resurrection of the dead. So never despair about that. We just make it very clear that ashes need to be buried because of the respect we owe to the body. You know, so that's why, you know, not to just cast them anywhere, do things, because where the body is a place where God dwelt, especially as a Christian. So we hold that. But again, even though his ashes are all over, at the resurrection, God can still bring those ashes together and bring him a resurrected body. Does that help?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Very quickly, we'll head to Rebecca in Livonia, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria, a first-time caller. Rebecca, just a couple minutes left with Father Larry. What's your question?
Hello, Rebecca.
Hi. My question is, do you have any advice of what I could maybe say to my husband who's suffering right now? His son has, you know, done an action that is very grievous to the son, you know, everybody.
Sure.
And it's to the extent that my husband doesn't really even want to relate to his son anymore. So my question is, what can I say? Because I'm taken aback by my husband's response being that my son has sinned against, you know, the fourth commandment, against his parents, dishonored me, this is horrible.
I would just have your husband read the prodigal son, you know, read that again. This is how God deals with people who have sinned, especially their son. And I just sit there and say, you know, I can't tell you anything. Let God's holy word, which is alive and has power, if he reads that again, then God can maybe work on his heart and really bring some kind of healing there, because we're all the prodigal children. We all, like I preached 2 weeks ago, can we all agree we all deserve eternal damnation? He says, is there anyone here that doesn't believe you deserve eternal damnation? Because if you're not, you don't know who you are. We all deserve it. And yet God reaches out and loves us and heals us and brings us to, even when we didn't want it, he still brought us. And we have to accept it, but he sits there and did it. So I would just have a very simple thing. Why don't you read the prodigal son? And maybe God's spirit can touch him in a very real way and change his heart.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks, Rebecca. We appreciate that phone call. you know, you always talk about putting people in the arms of the Blessed Mother.
Mm-hmm.
That, reading sacred scripture, can't hardly miss with those two options, huh?
No, exactly. It's the ones, the bullets, the silver bullets that always hit the mark. You can't go wrong. You know, and again, when I go to scripture every single day, and it's the place where we encounter the living God. And I think whenever we encounter the living God, then things can change. And that's what happens.
Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
Father God of love and mercy, we ask your blessing upon everyone who's listening to us now. Give them peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. On behalf of our host, Father Larry Richards, our producer, Michael McCall, call screener Ryan Penny, and our social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson. I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line Thursday. Back at it tomorrow, our very own Vice President of Theology, Mr. Colin Donovan, is in the house. Until we get together then, God bless.